We continue our scripture reading this morning in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. We're about halfway through his letter to the church, and Paul has an urgent appeal for those. Let us be attentive to God's living word for us this morning. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleeping. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not to reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but Advent is always an exciting time. This year we will celebrate the 300th anniversary of Joy to the World. So each service will have some song of joy to the world, some version, but also other joyful hymns that we know about. So if you need joy this season, there'll be plenty each Sunday to go around. But I don't know about you, but this Advent seems a little different already, not just because of Joy to the World, but the turkey and dressing haven't quite settled yet. The Black Friday deals are actually still in full swing. They're still hot on the presses. And here we are already in Advent. I don't know about you, but it seems like calendar whiplash has just occurred. Normally, we have at least a week to prepare and get ourselves ready for the anticipation and the waiting. And this year, you've got 2.5 days, maybe-ish. So regardless, if you feel uneasy this morning, there's a good reason why. If there's one way to know that the wider world Christmas season is in full swing, then it's none other than the holiday commercials. They started before Thanksgiving. A wide-eyed child stares into a store filled with presents and fingertips on glasses. A misfit Frankenstein becomes the key to completing the village's tree lighting. Amazon's much acclaimed ad featuring a priest and an imam noticing each other's creaking legs and with one click ordering each other knee pads to sum up their love affair with online shopping, as well as our hopes for harmony amid all of this season. But yesterday, my attention was gravitated to an Xfinity commercial in which grandparents inadvertently received the tweets of their grandchildren. If you don't know what a tweet is, it's from Twitter, it's from social media. And so lamenting their upcoming stay at grandma's house with the lack of Wi-Fi and the lack of Netflix and the lack of on-demand streaming, they were not happy. So instead of being defensive or retorts about the ungrateful younger generation, the grandparents in the commercial called the cable company for assistance. And when the teenage granddaughter enters a home prepared for her, she finds not only jolly times around a television, but even her own heart expanding. So she lingers in front of a picture of her grandmother at a younger age on the mantle, as if her eyes finally take in that her grandmother is a true person, a self with a history, with heartaches and with dreams. One act of compassion to turn on the Wi-Fi deepens another's humanity. All these commercials that we'll see will tap into longings we have for nurture of connection, for belonging to a place and to a people, and for sharing things together with one another. Sometimes simple aching knees with knee pads that bind us together despite our differences. And with each instance, when a well-played commercial causes a catch in your throat like the Xfinity commercial that I hope you all see this season, maybe a tear in our eye, we remember our dreams for a better, a gentler, a more humane world. We have not forgotten our hopes for a generous, kind, and peaceful world, but it's not the world we live in. It is the world we yet long for. It's the world Isaiah and all the prophets before and after him dream of too. Isaiah wrote the words that Martha read this morning 750 years before Jesus was ever a thought in Mary's life. Poetry he uses with words that fill with hope that he hopes comes true. Poetry that the Israelites are praying with fervor happens sooner rather than later. Each trying to give us promises to hold on to when everything else seems so bleak. Isaiah's words could actually be a song if we sung them. A song that you may already know and have heard of, Imagine by John Lennon. You could set the words Martha read today from Isaiah to that tune. And perhaps that is what we should have done this morning. But more than singing Isaiah's words or John Lennon's, here is what I wish. We had more dreamers in our world. God uses dreamers in ways that's unimaginable in Scripture. We too require dreamers in our lives because they inspire us and call us to a future that we cannot yet see. And that is the point, to imagine. Theologian Henry Nouwen writes that it can be quite challenging to live with an imaginer. Often we want to be able to see in the future, he says. We say, how will next year be for me? Where will I be in 5 or 10 years? There are no answers to these questions. Mostly, he says, we just have enough light to see the next step. What we have to do in the coming hour or the following day, but nothing more. He said the art of living is to enjoy what you can see and not complain about what remains in the dark. When we're able to take that next step with the trust that we will have enough light for the step that follows it, we can walk through life with joy, and then you're surprised at just how far you'll go. Now that's a dream. Enough trust and enough hope that there's enough light for the next step that follows. And what follows that is joy at how far you'll truly go. Isaiah's community longs for a time when they're not engaged in a war. We long for a time where joy stays with us longer than a fleeting moment. You see, joy can be elusive. You may sit here today and say, there is no joy in my life at all, and I can't remember the last time I laughed. It's not on the scene for all of us, you see, which is why this year we created a service called the Longest Night Service. Some churches call it a Blue Christmas, but that's not really what it is. It is on the longest night of the year, so it'll be on Saturday, December 21st, and we'll spend time together remembering that the holidays do not bring joy for everyone. It'll be a service of wholeness and healing. We'll sit with one another for a night when the darkness seems far, far too long. Now that's a dream where we sit with each other and we hold one another when not all is well for all. Isaiah cast a vision as a promise for the future. It was a promise that God alone is God, and one day humankind would awaken to the light that is God's. And then, did you hear Martha read Isaiah's plea to you? Let us then walk in the light of the Lord. Although the land may be desolate and the future feels ominous, this dream is God's ever-present promise. The future belongs to God, but the first step towards that future belongs to those who have seen the light and are willing to trust that the light is just the next step. To live hopefully as we're supposed to on this first Sunday of Advent, with calendar whiplash of Thanksgiving still having us turning and toppling over. It's going to be a little hard work this year. To hope relentlessly is to throw yourself in a struggle for the realization to dream. To hope for justice and to work for peace. To hope for a time when the poor are cared for and children are honored and nurtured, and not sitting around complaining about how truly bad things are, which we could do because they are really bad. But to hope is to find some hungry people to feed and some children to nurture. You see, everyone will have to sacrifice and promise. Hopeful people are not passive people, waiting for God to come and just make everything right in a nice Hallmark card. But in the meantime, what would it look like? What would it look like to dream what Advent could truly be, or what Christmas could really be? I have a friend who says, and has a bumper sticker, "Jesus is coming, look busy." That was their answer to hope this year. Look busy, Jesus is coming. And I'm not so sure Jesus would say, "Look busy, I'm on my way." Maybe Jesus would have ended up in the city square in that world, but instead comes quietly in a manger. And so hopefulness is always in the margins. Dreams are always by one individual who has to plead with the rest of us to recognize it. And hopeful joy is just that. Joy of God's promises of light in the darkness that is not a far-off reality, but that one you can hold on to today. Hopeful joy. I'm a dreamer, as they say. Logistics, that's for you all to figure out. But if I were dreaming for Advent in our world today, the hopeful joy that Isaiah longs for his people, and this is what I long for today, that hosting family promise next to us at the beginning of this Advent season this morning as they nestle in to make their first week of Advent with us, that we bring hope to one another as a family will graduate from that program this week and spend Christmas in their own home with their three children. That's hopeful joy. Hopeful joy, checking in with those who seem distant this season, being with each other as we traverse this journey together. That's hopeful joy. And last but not least, my hopeful joy is that you'll dream. To imagine the hopeful joy that comes when God is truly hopeful, that we will all be one, that we are no longer divided, but recognized for who we are, beloved children of God, who belong to one another and to God. Now that truly is a dream, and that is hopeful joy. May it be so. Amen.